Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast that will never go pro. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother with a second round grade.
Okay, yeah, that's me, Ryan Newman.
And by the other brother, who's Mr. Irrelevant.
Wow. Yeah, it's better than nothing. I'll take it. Trey Newman.
All right. The NFL draft, of course, is a couple weeks away now. So wanted to give a quick preview of that. And we brought in a special guest to do so. Of course, you've seen from the title of the episode. It is Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. He also hosts a college football draft podcast, The College Draft. So you should check that out. But let's get straight into the interview.
All right, and we now welcome onto the show here, former NFL offensive lineman and host of several great podcasts, including the College Draft podcast. We are welcoming Ross Tucker. Ross, welcome in. How you doing today?
Ryan, doing great, brothers. Michael, Trey, awesome to see you guys and talk with you. Why does Michael have the best camera?
Yeah, he does.
Michael's really stepped it up.
So good. And your teeth are so white. What is going on down there?
That's
dude?
A setting on the camera. You know, I've got all my things dialed in here to make myself look as good as possible.
I was going to say, like, your camera quality is better than the other three of us. And then your smile and your teeth look so white. Now I'm just feeling bad.
I know.
We're off to a great
showing
start
off.
Here,
yeah.
Though.
The blurrier the better in my case, I would think, here for my camera, but I'm not sure I want the HD vision here. But also, I just wanted to mention, Ross, you're calling the Patriot League Championship game this coming Saturday. It's on CBS Sports Network, right? It's between Bucknell and Holy Cross. Something that needs to get a little more attention here these days. That's some quality football going on.
Well, I'm just looking forward to it, man. I mean, like, it was a week or two ago, my bosses said, hey, do you want to do the Patriot League Championship game on TV? Like, who says no to that?
Yeah, yes. That would be awesome.
I get paid well to call a college football game on April 17th. Like, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I met my wife at Bucknell. I went there to visit one weekend. And the Patriot League is like sort of the cousins, I guess, of the Ivy League, if you will.
Right.
So, you know, that's who we played. That was our only non-conference games when I played was Patriot League. And it's still very similar to that. So it's awesome. I'm disappointed the Ivy League's not playing. I know why they're not, whatever. But I'm looking forward to calling a game on Saturday. Why not?
Yeah, normally this is just spring game time. But to get some real football, that's a whole different ballgame. So.
Speaking of that, by the way. And I know we got other things you guys want to hit me on. I don't know what they're going to do with stadiums this fall, but can you guys freaking imagine what it will be like if, like, they allow full stadiums?
Yeah.
Like, let's say everybody has to be vaccinated, whatever it is, right? Like, that first weekend, that is going to be berserk. Like, I'll probably have a game. But a buddy of mine, his second son's going to Wisconsin now. September 4th, Wisconsin hosts Penn State. If I don't have a game, I guarantee you, as God is my witness, I will be in Madison, Wisconsin for Penn State, Wisconsin. That stadium, if that's a full stadium, I feel like people are just going to go crazy.
Oh.
Absolutely berserk.
I think we're going to see quite a few full stadiums. You know, I mean – we already have some places already opening up stadium-wise for baseball, right? So I think give it a few more months, maybe like 4 months, I think we'll be.
That's what I've been saying, though. Like last year, we were thankful to have some form of a season, but going into it, you didn't have that same buzz. But having that kind of – it'll be essentially like a two-year hiatus, man. The lead-up to that, those first couple weeks will just be, oh, man, we will be on cloud nine.
For sure.
But they should, right? Like, there should be enough people vaccinated by then. I don't know what I'm talking about. But
yeah, well, neither of us. None of us do. But
like, that they could find 60,000 people in the state of Wisconsin that are vaccinated that can go to the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we'll get there. That's just positive thinking, but we'll see. All right, let's jump into our, some of our topics here. We're obviously talking a little bit more about the upcoming draft here, so we'll get into some specifics on that. So our first question to you here is just kind of, you know, we know the QB position is getting a lot of hype and it's got some pretty deep talent this year, but what other position do you see as kind of being the deepest in the draft, you know, where maybe there's some really good quality players that you might be able to get in the deeper rounds, like fourth or fifth round?
Yeah, so the ones that jump out to me right away are O-line and wide receiver. It's a really good O-line draft. Maybe not necessarily at the top, but there's a lot of good players, tackles, centers, even guards, that people think you can get starters in third and fourth round. And a lot of times, third and fourth round are really more backup types that maybe can develop into starters, but they seem to think you can get starters in the third and fourth round, people I've spoken to. And receivers, again, man, I mean, it's like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And you think about next year already, you know, like Pickens and Olave and Wilson from Ohio State, even a guy people don't talk about, Jahan Dotson had a ridiculous year for Penn State. Like, ridiculous. There's just a bunch of good receivers next year already, too. I just think it's the nature of these kids have now been playing 7-on-7 football since they were 10 years old, and it's just really changed things. And I think also back in the day, every freak show guy would be the quarterback or the running back. I think more of these guys are saying, I want to play receiver. Like, I want to be a receiver. And because it's fun to be a receiver at 7-on-7. Running back's not fun. There's only one quarterback. And I just think more of these guys, more of the best athletes are playing receiver than they used to. You know, when we were younger, or even like 10, 15 years ago, they would still put the best athlete, you know, at, you know, whether it's quarterback or running back, just because they handled the ball so much, right? Like, they always had the ball in their hands. Cam Akers, you know, played running back in high school, and then he went to, or sorry, played quarterback in high school. Then he went to Florida State, played running back. I just think more guys are now playing receiver earlier in their careers.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and speaking of receiver, we're College Football Podcast. The reigning Heisman winner was a wide receiver for the first time in a while, and Devontae Smith. And the Bros, and I'm curious to hear your take on him and maybe how he translates, just because the Bros, we talk about how Devontae was definitely the product of, and very fortunate that, I say fortunate, Jaylen Waddle got injured, and then he just took it to another level. And I'm not saying he didn't deserve the Heisman, like, of course he did. But I'd be curious to hear, like, you know, he was going to be kind of 1A on his own team at Bama. Where do you think he kind of fits best in the NFL?
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody agrees, Trey, that Ja'Marr Chase is the guy. You know, like, everybody agrees that Chase is the best guy. And I've had, you know, later on this week on the Fantasy Feast podcast, they look at the guy I had on, Scott Barrett, is a big-time draft guy and wide receiver guy. He has Ja'Marr Chase. He's been charting all different kinds of stats, including age-based production. And, like, Ja'Marr Chase's age 19 season was ridiculous. So, anyway, he has Ja'Marr Chase as the best wide receiver prospect since at least 2015. Wow. As for Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, people go back and forth on those guys as to which one they like better. It really, it's almost like ice cream flavors. You know, like, they're both great. It's more, what are you looking for? You know, if you want, because Devontae Smith was the most productive receiver even when they had Jerry Jeudy and Ruggs and the other first-round picks. He was still the most productive guy. So if you like the meat and potatoes production, it's Devontae Smith. If you're looking for a guy that's going to make, like, Tyreek Hill-type plays, it's Waddle.
Sure, that makes sense.
All right, well, we got to talk about the quarterbacks a little bit. We'll get to some more O-line, but you know, for, you know, the last couple of years, it's felt inevitable that Trevor Lawrence was going to go number one, and obviously that looks like it's going to happen. But it also seemed like Justin Fields was the easy number two, and the closer we get to draft day, it seems like that is now unlikely. What's what do you see as the likely pecking order at quarterback? I guess either in your opinion or just how you think it might play out on draft day.
So it's funny because Zach Wilson played. this year, obviously, and was unbelievable, and he really helped his stock. Trey Lance didn't play, and so he didn't really help or hurt his stock. Fields played, and in general played very well, but showed enough flies in the ointment that he actually hurt his stock. You know, like I almost feel like if Fields didn't play this year, he'd be the second guy. You know, there's a lot of examples of quarterbacks that come back for that next year. It doesn't really help. You know, Matt Leinart, Matt Barkley. There's other guys we can think of. Who, Ryan?
Jake Locker. I remember he just hurt his stock a ton coming back his senior year.
Yeah, there are guys that, you know, the more you play, the more different things defenses can throw at you, and the more flaws scouts can see in your game. And that's almost every position, by the way.
Like, that's true.
The longer you stay, the more holes they can poke in your game. And that happened to Fields. I mean, Fields had some games that were not that good. I mean, there were some real issues. I think what happened to Fields is the combo of the Indiana game. What was the other game where he wasn't great in? So he had two games where
maybe Penn
there
State.
Were some really.
What's it might that? Have been the Big Ten championship against
the Big Ten title, yeah. Northwestern.
That too, yeah.
Yes, yes, that's what it was. So there were enough concerning moments for Fields that people were sort of starting to question a little bit, you know, what he could do. That it hurt him. I mean, it really ended up hurting him this year. And I think these other guys, and then you had a guy like Mac Jones who had almost a perfect Joe Burrow-esque season. So we'll see where he ends up going, but in the field. I also think Haskins, and it's totally unfair that it shouldn't have any impact on Fields at all, but Haskins being such a disaster after he had such an awesome year at Ohio State a couple years ago, that doesn't help Fields either. Even though there should be no correlation, it's hard for people not to have that in their brain somewhere.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's can't help it. So, you know, we obviously have to talk on the O-line. You're a former offensive lineman. So, I mean, you know, Penei Sewell seems to be the clear number one choice as the top O-line prospect. I mean, do you agree with that? Or do you think there's maybe some other guys that, hey, maybe they have a higher ceiling or maybe just could turn themselves into something that's even maybe on par with him or better?
Yeah, I think I like Slater. I think I like Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. I say that because I think he can do it at tackle, but I almost feel like the worst case scenario for Slater is he goes inside the guard and has a Brandon Scherff, Zach Martin type career at guard, you know, where he's a perennial Pro Bowler at guard. But I think he can do it at tackle. Look, he played the best against Chase Young of anybody I've ever seen. You know, and Chase Young was defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, and Slater really did well against him. Sewell has oodles of potential, and I think he'll get there. But if you're asking me this year who I'd rather have, it's Rashawn Slater. Okay. If you're looking at a 10-year time horizon, I think you can make a strong argument for Sewell based on the upside and potential, but you're probably talking to the wrong guy. I've seen so many guys that had potential that never got there in my career that I'm a little biased against the potential upside guys. I mean, I've seen guys that were way, you know, longer arms, stronger than me, more athletic, like way better than me in every category. They weren't consistent. You know, they'd have a couple of plays. You'd be like, oh, my gosh, did you see that? But then they'd have two plays where you're like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you just can't do that. So I'm a Rashawn Slater guy.
Yeah, well, you like the guys from the smart schools, I can tell, too. So. No. You know, so obviously you've got the game upcoming on CBS Sports this weekend. But in terms of this past year, were there any guys – in games that you called that stood out to you, or maybe in prep for watching teams against other teams, maybe some under the radar guys that, you know, the average fan might not know about, just in all positions, in all phases, anyone that stood out?
Yeah, you know, there were several. It's funny. There's a linebacker, actually, from Army, John Radigan, who had an unbelievable year. I did 8 Army games this year. I do all the Army home games for CBS Sports Network. And Radigan was unbelievable. And the year before, 2 guys from defense from Army, Cole Christensen and Elijah Riley, both made the NFL. I mean, Christensen made the Chargers, was up and down practice squad active roster. So was Elijah Riley. And Radigan was so good in coverage, which is so important. And he's got a really good special teams background, which is really important if you're going to be the 6th linebacker to make a team. That I like Radigan quite a bit. The running back, Rivers, for Fresno State.
Oh, yeah.
Really impressed me. Yeah. Ronnie Rivers, I thought he was excellent. Colorado State had a really good tight end. I don't even know if – did he turn pro? I didn't even see if he turned pro or not. I'm trying to remember. His name's Trey.
Oh, wow. My name's Trey. Yeah, well, he's gifted, clearly.
I can't – I don't know if he turned pro or not, though. Those are some guys that jump out. I'm trying to think of some of the other games I did. But those guys for sure are some guys that jumped out to me. By the way – oh, I know. I love doing those midweek Mac games. It's funny.
Oh, heck yeah.
I got so much social media love just because I would do like a Tuesday night Ball State Eastern Michigan, and it was the only game on.
Oh, you know?
Oh, I got one. Jarrett Patterson.
Yeah, you called there you go. That game. When
Yeah, you called true. That.
When they didn't go for the record.
I mean, he was about to break the all-time touchdown and yardage record. He was 20 yards away.
I know.
Come on, Lance.
I thought for sure they knew. For sure. I could not believe. I lost my mind.
That you did. No, we were.
I was like, what are you doing, Lance Leipold? No. Put him back in. What is happening right now?
That
was funny. Like I ended up going viral because of my comments instead of being. But it would have been cool to say for the rest of my life. I was at the game of the guy that had the most touchdowns, the most yards in a game ever.
I called it. I called the game. Yeah.
I'm a little surprised we don't like him more. He didn't have any catches last year.
Yeah.
Which hurts him. Mm. And then, you know, when you go to a MAC school and you don't have a defining physical characteristic, it makes it tough. He's not big. He's not overly fast. I don't care. He's just good. I mean, he just knows how to get yards. I think he'll end up being a really good change of pace second back for a team.
Yeah, you don't luck into massive games like he had. So,
yeah, he had a couple.
Yeah, they don't just hand out
games.
Like guys that have a tendency to get a lot of yards have a tendency to get a lot of yards. Like, there's a reason for that, right?
So one thing I've always wanted to know about. And we got a former NFL player here, so this is the time to ask, is current players, when they're, you know, leading up to the draft, do they pay a lot of attention to the draft? Like, I would think, especially if you're kind of, you know, if you're not a Patrick Mahomes, if your job is sort of maybe on the line every year, are you watching the draft hoping, like, those first 4 or 5 rounds, like, ooh, I hope they don't take someone in my position group, or, I don't know, do different guys look at it differently?
All I cared about was that they didn't take an offensive line. And if they did, the lower the better. 6th round, 7th round, so that they – because as soon as they took one in the 4th round, that's a guaranteed roster spot.
Yeah.
That's a guaranteed, like, it lessened my chances right there. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. That's all I cared about. People are always like, hey, what do you think of the how the team – your team drafted? I'm like – it was great. They didn't take a lineman until the 7th round.
We took 8 punters. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like people don't understand. It's just not, you're not a fan. It's your job and you want to keep your job. Like I remember 1 year I was at the Princeton spring game, which is where I went with my alma mater. And not only did they take Lee Evans, but they traded up. They traded next year's 1st round pick to take J.P. Lossman. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
A wide receiver and a quarterback, and we have no 1st round pick next year, so that guy can't – they can't possibly take some stud center, tackle, guard to take my job. Like, in my mind, trade every draft pick for Khalil Mack. I don't care. Trade every draft pick for a guy that plays a position other than me. You want to win and you want them to draft good players that help you win. But if we're being honest, it's secondary to your own personal job security by far.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it translates to, you know, all fields. You don't want to have the company you're working for hire your replacement, essentially.
So. Yeah. We don't want our parents to give birth to.
How would you feel if Michael and Ryan were like, hey, it's been awesome being your brother. Like, we've really enjoyed it. But Ross said he wants to be the third guy on College Football Bros moving forward. And we're trying to grow the show, Trey. Ross has a pretty big social media following. There's other podcasts.
It's not personal. So, it's just business.
Yeah, we're going to have to go ahead. And Ross is going to be the third bro now. Like, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Mom and dad are in. They're adopting him. He's going to be at Christmas. Sorry, Trey. You're out.
Yep.
I like that you used Trey for this example.
Yeah, that's
well, Trey
perfect.
Was the one that I was talking to. Or was talking, yes. Why? That's probably some inside joke that I'll get.
Yeah, I can take it. I can take it.
All right, well. So, you know, before we finish up here, we do want to just kind of ask you about, you know, a company that you're involved with that's been a sponsor of our show, and we've mentioned a lot and used it and think it's a great company here. MyFrontPageStory.com, if you want to give a little pop here for that. It's a great site.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Like, Mother's Day is coming up. This is by far the greatest Mother's Day gift of all time, and it's the easiest one. You literally talk to one of the writers for 10 minutes. They will write the most unbelievable story about your mom or your wife, if you want to get it for your wife, whatever. And then it's framed. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. Like, my sister and I got one from my mom a couple years ago. It's the first thing you see when you walk into her house. It is hanging up in her house. And the two keys are, right? Number one, it's like the delivery, like being able to say to your mom, hey, mom, I want to do something cool for you this year. So I had a story written about you. She'll be like, what? You had a story written about me? That is amazing. You had a story written about me? A story about like nobody can believe, like, it's people don't even know you can do this. So, like, they're blown away just by the concept of you got them. You had a story written about them for their Mother's Day. And then when they actually read the quotes about, like, you know, my mom's the reason I am the person, like, she'll just ball, dude. Like, she'll ball. It'll be her favorite Mother's Day gift you ever got her. MyFrontPageStory.com. And I forget what your guys' code is for the discount, but it's MyFrontPageStory.com.
Yep. Bros15, 15% off.
Oh, nice. Bros15. Like it.
Well, Ross, again, we want to thank you for coming onto the show. We love having you on. It's always fun to talk to you, get some great insight from you. Not often you get to talk with a former NFL player and color commentator. So kind of a double whammy there. Enjoy having you on. Hope you come on again sometime soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. You guys are killing it. It's a great show. I enjoy listening. Your graphics person, I always tell you, is amazing. They do a terrific job. I love your topics. You guys have awesome topics. And yeah, if you like college football, Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, Bucknell and Holy Cross, watch some smock kids play football.
I'll be dialed in
for sure.
Safe travels. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. See you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Ross. All right, that was awesome. Thanks again to Ross Tucker for a great preview of the NFL draft. Be sure to check out his content, Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and of course the college draft. And guys, that's it. Any closing thoughts?
Look forward to the draft. For sure.
All right.
You see some surprises maybe.
No, I appreciated Ross coming on. It's really fun to talk to him. I'll definitely now be really tuned into that Patriot League game this weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening and watching, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.